Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A leper came to Jesus, and kneeling down, begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That'll be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Continue in this first week of Ordinary Time pondering the letter to the Hebrews and the beginning of the Gospel of St. Mark, as we've been focusing on this message in this first week, is for us to take seriously that after God had spoken in many fragmented ways to us, He communicated everything that He had to say in the person of His Son, in the Son's words, in the Son's body language. Son is the definitive word, Jesus, who has come into the world to communicate to us the fullness of the revelation of God about who God is, about who we are, and what He's expecting of us, and what we need to do in order to enter fully into loving communion with Him. This letter to the Hebrews, as we've been focusing on these last few days, it zeroes in precisely on how Jesus wants to lead us through suffering and death to human perfection, just like He Himself took on our nature to suffer and die for us, so that, as we heard yesterday, He might take away that fear of suffering and death, that slavery that we have based on that fear, so that we could live freely, not even scared to die, not even scared when people will intimidate us with death if we continue to be faithful. But after this big introduction, here we go. The letter of the Hebrews says, "Oh, today that you would hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as at the rebellion in Meribah and Massah," two Hebrew words that mean the day of testing in the desert, "when your ancestors tested and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Remember what happened in that desert. God had worked the 10 plagues. God had separated the sea for them to walk through the sea with walls on both sides on dry ground. And then they witnessed how those sea walls collapsed and ended the pursuit of the Egyptians in their charioteers. And then throughout the desert, God was feeding them miraculously. But what happened? After they had walked quickly along the desert, and it hadn't taken all that long, they saw the promised land from a distance. They sent scouts in order to be able to survey the land. The scouts came back and said, "It is as unbelievable as God has said. It really is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's unbelievable." But the people who inhabit it, they are huge. And the people started to get afraid. The people in the Holy Land were nothing compared to the Egyptians that God had defeated. But they began to get afraid. They didn't really want to challenge and go forward. And then they started to complain. "What are we eating out here? What are we drinking out here? Compared to what we had in Egypt," their hearts started to long for the flesh pots of Egypt. Long for what they had. That was how they failed. They wouldn't persevere, and God said that they weren't going to enter into his rest, a euphemism for the Holy Land, that it would be generations later. He had told Moses when they were complaining to say a word to a rock and the rock would give water. And instead of saying the word to the rock, Moses struck it with his staff. It still gave forth water, but God said that not even Moses would do it because Moses had become hardened by battling against the hardened hearts of the people. The letter of the Hebrews says this to us because it describes exactly what Jesus has done. Jesus has led us through his own passion and death through a more important Passover to a far more important promised land, the promised land of heaven. But are we going to continue to follow him, or are we going to look back toward our age of sin? Are we going to say, "Ooh, I longed for eating meat on Fridays during Lent. Ooh, I longed for sleeping late on a Sunday morning. Ooh, I longed for hating my enemies and seeking vengeance on those who hurt me." Saying, "No, we've got to persevere." It goes on, saying that none of us have an evil and unfaithful heart so as to forsake the living God. Instead, we're called to be encouraged daily while it's still today, so that none of us may have our hearts hardened by the deceit of sin. Because Christ has made us partners of him, but we've got to hold the beginning of the reality firm until the end. We've got to persevere in this gift. We've got to persevere in that communion with the Lord Jesus, with a heart that's always open and docile to what God is saying to us today. Do we have that type of heart that's fleshy, that loves, that's not hardened? Well, compared to the worst of sinners, we would say, of course we have an open heart. But the problem for most of us is our heart is both open and closed. It's both soft to God and parts of it are hardened. And what we've really got to focus on is not say, "I don't have a totally hardened heart," but to say, "What parts of my heart are hardened?" And to open up to making sure that that part of our heart becomes a partner of the Lord by the Lord's grace. We see this split in today's powerful gospel scene. This leper has some faith. This leper comes up to Jesus, kneels down before him, and begs, "If you wish, you can make me clean." It's a tremendous witness of the openness of part of this leper's heart. You can do something absolutely miraculous. There was in the ancient world the sense that there was no cure for leprosy, the real thing. Everything, every skin disease was called leprosy. So there were certain types of leprosy, psoriasis, that might be able to be cured. But the real thing that started eating away the body parts, that started making all your nerve endings dead, that started to make you look, as they used to say in the ancient world, like a lion, because you had these brown growths that would come all over your body, that would start to ooze pus and stink like nothing you had ever smelled, that when you had that, you wouldn't be cured. And yet this leper came up to Jesus and said, "If you will it, I can be cured." He knew that Jesus could do anything. That was a sign that part of his heart was opened. And Jesus, as we know, moved with pity, stretched out his hand and actually touched the leper, which had made him ritually unclean. But he knew he wasn't touching something unclean. He was touching a human being made in his Father's image and likeness, no matter how disfigured by a dreadful disease. And Jesus made him clean by his holy will. And immediately, that leper was cured. So far, so good. What happened next? Warning him sternly, Jesus dismissed him, saying, "See that you tell no one anything." just so that you can be reinserted into the community. There was a part in the Mosaic Law where the priest needed to testify because the priest was considered the most intelligent person, and he would be the doctor in addition to the teacher in the ancient world. He would be the one to say to everybody else, you have nothing to be afraid of anymore. This man was once a leper, he's no longer a leper. He can come to the temple, he can come to the synagogue, he can go into your homes, don't worry. But what did this now former leper do? Though Jesus said, tell no one anything, he went off and began to publicize the whole matter. Why did Jesus not want him to say anything? Because Jesus didn't want everybody to relate to him just simply as a cheap doctor who would cure for free. He wanted people to relate to him as a savior. Someone who had come to free him from a more serious form of leprosy, a leprosy of the soul. He also didn't want everybody framing him as the Messiah too early, because their ideas of the Messiah was someone who would be a political liberator kicking out the Romans, rather than a spiritual liberator kicking out the devil and his minions. But this man refused to listen to what Jesus had sternly warned him, and publicized the whole thing. He might have said, hey, Jesus did a good deed for me. I'm just doing a good deed saying how awesome this man is. He was told not to tell anyone anything, and he just said with a partially hardened heart, I know better than you, Jesus. And off he went, blabbing. And exactly what Jesus' concerns were came to fruition. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly, because everybody wanted to treat him as this new political candidate who would defeat the incumbents, when Jesus was so much more. That's the issue for us. For most Catholics, we will approach Jesus with faith in certain areas of our life, and then in other areas of our life, turn to him a hardened heart. We might hear Jesus' call to be good to the poor and the needy, but then totally refuse Jesus' call to come and confess our sins, be absolved by the priest he has sent out with his power to forgive sins. We might hear Jesus' call and heed it to pray every day, but we might totally ignore and turn a hardened heart to Jesus' call to forgive our enemies and to pray for our persecutors. We might heed Jesus' call to be spiritually poor, but we might totally reject Jesus' call to pluck out our eyes or cut off our hands or chop off our feet, metaphorically, if they're leading us to sin. We might hear Jesus' call to love that person, but totally harden our hearts to Jesus' call to love the person we don't like. The issue for us is that parts of our heart are hardened, not that all of our heart is hardened. And the challenge for us is, if today you hear the Lord's voice telling you something that you don't want to do, or that you think you know better than the Lord, that you open up your heart and obey him there. That's the big challenge. Not to obey the Lord in the things that we feel like doing, but to open up our heart and follow the Lord in everything he commands. Today we come before the Lord. We say, Lord, if you will it, you can give me this grace. You can heal the leprosy that still impacts part of my heart. You can make that soft. You can make it the heart that you want. You can give me that grace of perseverance. You can help me to become a partner of you in every aspect of my life. You can help me to hold firm to the reality of faith that you gave me from the beginning until the very end. Every day we come to Mass. Every day we hear the Lord Jesus speak to us. We can think we don't have a hardened heart if we don't outright reject what Jesus says. But that's not the only way we have a hardened heart. A hardened heart is when we don't really receive what Jesus says on good soil and act on it. Every day when Jesus speaks to us, it's a litmus test to how open our heart really is. Because every day, Jesus is telling us how to grow more and more to become His partner, to enter into communion with Him. And the real test of our heart is how assiduously we act on what He speaks. Today, Jesus is not going to tell us, "See that you tell no one anything." Today, Jesus is going to tell us, "You go to the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Proclaim it to everybody you know." Are we going to harden our heart to that gospel mandate, or are we going to do it? If today you hear the Lord's voice, harden not your heart. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.